this time we'll turn to the Word of God. If you have your hard copy or if you have your phone, ever how you are reading the Word of God, I encourage you, if you have a smartphone and don't have the Bible on it, you can get an app, I believe called YouVersion, that you can take the Bible with you everywhere you go. If you get called in the doctor's office or somewhere else, that would be a good place to pick it up and begin reading it. And if you don't have a reading plan, I would encourage you, especially if you're young, a good place to start would be in the book of Proverbs. Read a proverb a day. That will give you a lot of wisdom for life. And I encourage you to do that if you don't do that already. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I want to begin reading in verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, and we're going to read down to the 10th verse. And then I want to pull out one verse out of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, as Peter was preaching to the house of Cornelius. But let's begin reading here. He says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this. This is Peter preaching of Jesus in the house of Cornelius. He says this: "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." We serve a good God. In the very beginning of the Bible, we find that as God was creating everything, as He looked out on the various days of His creation, He said, "It is very good." We know that man has fallen from that state, and we have all rebelled against this good God, and we have all gone astray. We have all done whatever we have wanted to do. That is not good. But that does not change the goodness of God. God was good in that He gave good news to Adam and Eve that they could find a way back to God to know Him. He was good as He chose out Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Israel in the Old Testament, and that He might display His goodness to the world. And He calls us today that we too, as we have been saved by God's grace, He calls us to go about and do good because we serve a good God. We must be about our Father's business. We remember Jesus saying that at about 12 years of age. He said that, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He is a good, good Father, and He desires for His children to do good. Did you pick that up in verse 10 of Galatians 6? And there in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Jesus, everywhere He went about doing good, and God calls us as His children to do likewise. We know that part of doing good, according to Galatians chapter 6, would, when we see someone go astray, we are called to restore one in the spirit of gentleness. Part of doing good would be to, when we see someone burdened down under the trials and troubles of life, it would be to go beside them and help them carry that heavy load. That is doing good. It is good for us to take an honest evaluation of our own hearts. for us to see where we are with God. That is good. And as we come to the house of God on the first Sunday of the year, we need to think about, Lord, what is it that You want me to do this next year that I didn't do this past year? We need to have an honest assessment of what we have been doing. It is good for us to take care of our own personal responsibilities, as He tells us in verse 5 of Galatians chapter 6, that we all have our own load to carry. Every single one of us, there is a path that is marked out for us. God in His providence and sovereignty, He has a path that is there for us, that a responsibility for us to carry. And it is good for us to take up that mantle and to carry that load that God has for you and me individually. And He says in this passage today, there are a few more things that He calls us to do good. Because as we said here this morning, I desire that each one of us have leave our mark on this world for good. The Bible says, let us not be overcome with evil, but let us overcome evil with good. Let us leave a good legacy on this world in which we live. I pray that is my desire for every single person that is in this house of the Lord today, that you might leave your mark on somebody. Just this week, as I serve as a counselor for those that are here, that are new, I serve as a counselor at Nashville Rescue Mission. Downtown, and I talk with men that have come in and they have not been sowing a good seed in their lives. They have actually been caught up on drugs and alcohol and sexual addictions. And many of them, they started when they're 12 and 14 and 16 and 18. It's those high school years that they begin drifting away because they begin experimenting with things. And some of them are in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, and they had not been going about doing good. But there was a young man in my office this week who said that he was broken because of the harvest that he had been reaping. And we're going to look at that in just a little bit. He was broken because of his choices of his life. And he sat there and he said, as my grandfather was there about to die, he told me on his deathbed, he said, son, no matter how far you go away from the Lord, no matter where you are in your life, he said, you're never too far that you can't turn back to God today. And I'll tell you that as his grandfather has already gone on to the other side, this young man is sitting in my office, broken over his choices, realizing that I must get my life right with God. I must do what is right and good in this life. And I'll tell you that I'm trying to share the good news with you today, that no matter where you are, you can turn to the Lord today. That today might set the path for the rest of your life. As we are gathered in the house of the Lord, there are many that are weighed in the balances and found wanting. There are many perhaps that do not know the Lord, that they are blind and they do not see the way in which they should go. But I tell you, you can start on the right path today if you'll seek the Lord. That is good. And so I want to encourage you with that. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to here, he said that as he's encouraging the Galatians, he's telling them that no doubt as we go about doing good, some of you in here may say, preacher, I am close to the Lord. I am loving my family. I am loving my church body. And I'm going about being a blessing to my community. And I want to encourage you, keep on doing it. God is not unfaithful to forget our works of love that we have done for His name. Keep on doing that. But sometimes we get discouraged on the road. The Apostle Paul tells us in this passage, let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we're like the psalmist in Psalm 73. He said that as he looked out and he saw the wicked and the proud, he saw that they were prospering and they were getting along just fine. I'll tell you, some of the men that I talk with, they get along just fine. Some of them were busy selling drugs and they had more money rolling in on a monthly basis than I have seen in my entire working career. They were rolling it in and rolling it in. But I'll tell you that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And those things came to an end. So we need to see, it is important what we're sowing in our lives. What are we doing with our lives? Are we walking in the goodness of the Lord and in His light, or are we going about doing our own things? Because so often as we, as God's people, as we look out and we see the wicked prospering and we wonder how are they getting along and why is it so well with them and they seem to have no problems and we have all the problems. The psalmist in Psalm 73, he said, I went into the house of the Lord and there I discerned their end. You know, I'm thankful that you're in the house of the Lord today. Amen. That you are sowing to the Spirit. You're here, willing to listen to the Word of God, to be in the household of faith. Paul, in this passage, he reminds us of a few things. Number one, I want us to see about doing good. We should sow into the gospel ministry. We should sow into the gospel ministry, is what he says in verse 6. Secondly, we'll look at in verse 7 through 9, we'll find that we need to sow into the Spirit personally. We need to sow to the Spirit. We're either going to sow to the flesh and of the flesh reap corruption, or we'll sow to the Spirit. We'll sow to the things of God. We'll sow to our lives in prayer. We'll sow the Word of God into our hearts. We'll sow good deeds to our brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you, we might not always see the fruit come up tomorrow, but I'll tell you, as we sow the right thing, God promises that there will be a good harvest that will come from that. And then I want us to see that we should serve our community and serve especially our church body. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling us in this passage. Let's look at this first verse in verse 6 here. Our first point for today says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. No doubt, as we think about this verse, he's referring to supporting the work of the ministry. So he's calling the church, those that are being taught, to support the teacher, the teaching elder of that church. He is giving a biblical foundation that as a man sows the spiritual things of the Word of God, that he should reap the material things of God's people. That is something that is good in the sight of the Lord. And I'll tell you that we will give our finances to the things that we really value. You know, this past week, as probably you have, you begin thinking about, what did I do with my finances last year? Maybe you don't do that. But I take an annual assessment. At the end of every year, I get on my online banking and I download every single transaction for the past year. And I divide it up into columns and I find out exactly where every penny went that was spent on my card. And I can tell you the things that I love based on that statement. I can find out how much I gave. I can find out how much I gave to the doctor's office. I can tell you how many prescriptions that got filled. I can tell you how many times we went out to eat. And I'll tell you, it's not always a pretty picture, but it tells the honest truth. And some parts of that I enjoy seeing. Some parts of that I'm like, that hurts. Some things need to be cut back and some things need to be improved upon. But it tells the truth. You know, we'll give to the things that we value the most. And as the church body, I want you to see the importance. The pastor teacher is to serve the church through teaching. This is to model. And as Paul is writing to the churches here, there were no doubt there were teachers in the churches in Galatia. We know of four churches that were established there. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12, he says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. One of the qualifications for a pastor of the church is that he is to be apt to teach. This is His job, that through oral instruction we are called. It is my job as a pastor of this church to biblically educate you on the things of God. That is my job that God has called me to, and He is going to hold me accountable one day. As James chapter 3 verse 1, he says, "And be not many masters or many teachers, knowing that you shall face the stricter judgment." The Apostle Paul told Timothy that he said to guard your life and guard your teaching, because you're going to give an account for that. And so as a position in the church, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians and saying that perhaps this was one of the first times in the Bible that, because Galatians was an early book that was written, that there was a paid ministry in the church. It was important that a man be able to set aside his time for the study of the Word of God, that he might be able to dig in the Word of God, that he might be able to spend time with the King, and as he comes into the house of the Lord on Sunday morning, that he might be a runner or a messenger from the King, saying, this is what the Lord would have us to do. This morning as we gather here, I want you to know God desires that we draw near unto Him this year. He desires that if you are lost and dead in your sins today, that He would call you to repentance, that He might save your soul, because as we are gathered here today, we are on the edge of eternity. We don't know the day or the hour that we will die. Life is a vapor. It's here one day and it's gone the next, and each one of us need to prepare to meet our Maker. And it's important that there be someone that stands and proclaims the truth. And Paul is laying this out, that this position is important in the church. And the church will show its importance by being able to support the work of the ministry. Now, no doubt, the position can be abused. There are some lazy pastors out there that do not study God's Word. There are those that neglect the sheep. Ezekiel said this in the 34th chapter. He says this, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" I'm telling you, the Lord sees exactly what is going on in our lives. The position can be abused, but I'll tell you, each one will give an account for their actions. But also the church can abuse the system as well, at trying to control the minister by giving him money and doing these various things. But I tell you that a man of God should not be able to be bought with anybody, because we must stand on the truth of God's holy word, because it is He that you and I are going to be held accountable to. In the days of Ezra, in Nehemiah chapter 8, as Ezra came preaching the Word of God to the people, they saw the value of it and they trembled at the Word of God and they wept before the Word of God and they said, "Let us not weep for now," because He says the joy of the Lord is our strength. As we come into the house of the Lord, the Word of God at times should cause us to weep, and even if it hits us, it should cause us to weep, but all in the same time, it points us back to the Lord and it should cause rejoicing in our hearts all at the same time. So Paul is saying here, as we look at this passage, that part of doing good is to sow in to the gospel ministry. He would write to the Corinthians and he would say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "Who goes," in verse 7, "who goes a warfare anytime at his own charges? What soldier is there paying his own way to fight for our freedoms? He says this, "And who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock?" So he says that you see soldiers, they go to war and they partake of the taxes that are given by the people. He says a farmer goes out and he eats of the vineyard that he sows. He says a shepherd goes out and he drinks of the milk that and then takes of the wool that those lamb provides. And he says here that if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it not a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? And he says in verse 14, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now I realize that that is not a popular thing to be preaching today. But it's biblical. It's true. I would say 95% of missionary Baptist preachers are bivocational, because the church does not believe in sharing in the ministry or partnering with the pastor who has been willing to give of his life to the gospel. Who in here would take a job? Who in here would take a job that just promised a certain amount of cash each week, that would be treated as self-employed, that would not provide health care insurance, a retirement plan, and not promise any extra income the next year based on inflation? Who in here would take a secular job and do that? Probably not anyone. But many of the pastors of our churches have been asked to believe in God and trust Him in faith. But the church has not been willing to trust God in faith as well. I'm saying these things not because I'm asking for more money or any of that. I'm saying these things because as we partner together in the gospel, God will reward our faithfulness. And as we do good in this way, God will bless the church. He will be honored. He will be lifted up because He will see what you value the most. And I'll tell you that each church has its own prerogative. And I'm sensitive on this morning. There have been times that I have been able, by the grace of God, to sit at Logan's and enjoy a good steak dinner. And I've had an abundance. And there's been times when I've scraped $2 out of my ashtray and been able to afford 2 junior bacon cheeseburgers. And I'll tell you that I've been able to enjoy both just as good because God has provided for me and my family in the ministry. And I want you to know that whatever the church does, God will provide for His men as they stand proclaiming the Word of God. He never said it would be easy, but as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "I have learned that whatever state that I am in, therewith to be content." He said, "I have learned to abound with much, and I have learned to walk through lean times. Nevertheless, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We need to sow to the gospel ministry. We need to be behind those preachers that are carrying the gospel to this lost and dying world. We need to see that they're carrying the good things. We want to support everything else. But we must support the Word of God and back it. And not just say we love it and support it in our prayers. We need to show financial support, not only here in this church, but any missionary that God would bring in our path. We need to be willing to spread the gospel to the nations because the world is lost in sin. We need to support the work of the ministry. Secondly, we need to sow to the Spirit of God. This morning, I want you to know that there is a principle of God of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. And He tells us in this passage in Galatians, He said, "Be not deceived." Brothers and sisters, young and old alike, let us not think that we can outwit God. Let us not think that we can fool God, because God will not be mocked. You will not get over on God today. He is going to receive all honor and glory, either in His giving unto you grace and saving you by His grace, or He is going to receive glory for those who rebel against Him as they are sent to a devil's hell. God will receive glory out of every single life. And it's important today. How important is your soul? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You may sow to business. You may sow to your college. You may sow to your career. But I tell you, if you don't think about the things of God, there's going to come a day when you have sown to the flesh and sown to your own self-centeredness that God is going to call to you to an account and say, what did you do with the gospel? What did you do with my son? And those who have only sowed to the flesh, You're not going to be able to reroute God's principles. You're not going to be able to say, well, God, just handle it from here on out. I'm telling you, you need to make sure you know what you're sowing today. What are the things that you're sowing to in your life? We see the principle of sowing and reaping, the product of sowing and reaping. What kind of seeds are you sowing? In high school, when I was in high school, I don't know if they have it around here, they had FFA, Future Farmers of America. Can you imagine that I was in FFA as a future farmer of America studying agriculture? Well, one of the things that y'all are laughing at me this morning. Do you not know that I'm a green thumb, that I can plant a few things without them dying? I'm glad you didn't go to my garden this year because it didn't quite make it. I was trying to sow to the things of the Spirit, and when revivals were going on this summer, my garden just got out of hand, and weeds and tomato plants, they grew wherever they wanted to grow, because if you don't tend it, it's gonna do what it wants to do. But in FFA, we had this thing called seed identification contest. We had to be able to identify seeds of all sorts. And you had to be able to pick up the vial and say what it was, whether it was a grass seed, some fruit tree seed, whether it was a watermelon. I'll tell you that whatever seed gets sown into the ground, that's what's going to come up. Have you heard people say that I'm just going to sow some wild oats? I want to encourage you, you teenagers and you that are in your 20s. A lot of times an older person will look at a younger person and they'll say, well, they're just out there sowing their wild oats. That means that they're out there just living a rebellious lifestyle against God and they're doing whatever they want to do. I want to encourage you today, if you hear nothing else, that please do not sow wild oats. Because the Bible says, whatsoever that you sow, that is what you will reap. That harvest will come up. If you sow that first seed of that drink of alcohol, it's eventually going to come up. If you sow that first time of sexual activity outside of marriage, it may come up with a pregnancy. If you sow to one time of using drugs, that flesh, that work of the flesh, may come up. Please, I beg you today, do not sow to the flesh today, but you find out what it takes to please God. Because I desire, just like your parents and your grandparents, is that you might sow to the good things of life, and that you might not be in your mid-20s and your mid-30s and you're trying to get over the harvest of what you did 5 and 10 and 15 years ago. I'm praying as a pastor this morning that you will hear this message. Please do not turn your stiff neck. Please heed it. Because this process of sowing and reaping, it takes time. If you ever plant a garden, I used to be quite impulsive in my young age, and I can still be, but when I planted that seed, I wanted it to come up tomorrow. I wanted tomato plants like abracadabra right there. I wanted them right there, but it takes time. You know, as you sow today, it's not going to come up tomorrow. It's going to take time. You may say, preacher, what do I need to be sowing to? I want to encourage you, if you're not reading your Bible, sow 5 minutes a day. Who in here has got an extra 5 minutes? Who in here can get off Facebook? Who in here can turn off the television? Who in here could push back from the dinner table 5 minutes early? There are ways that you can cut things out of your life and sow to the good things. If you're not in the Word of God, I want to encourage you to sow 5 minutes. If you're not praying actively on a daily basis, sow 5 minutes. I'm just saying 5 minutes. I'll tell you that 5 minutes will eventually turn into 15. That 15 might turn into 30. And between now and the end of this year, you may say, "Preacher, I listened to that one thing you said and I added to my life. I began sowing to the Spirit, and let me tell you how happy in God I am today. Let me tell you that there's a loved one in my family that is now saved by God's grace, because instead of criticizing them and beating them down, I just sowed love into their life. I sowed the truth with grace into their life. And now, as a result of doing that, I just little by little, day after day, and I just kept doing it because I didn't know when God was going to give the increase, but I knew that He's got a principle out there that if I will sow to the Spirit, if I'll be like those in Psalm 126, He said they went out sowing their precious seed. They went out weeping with their precious seed, but they came back reaping with joy. I'm telling you, God is able to do some good things in our lives if we will sow to the things of the Spirit. Who in here wants a more full life? Who wants more joy in their life? And how many of you learned as we have received Christmas gifts? I thank God for every single one of them. But I have spent almost an entire week reworking and organizing our house. I even had to build a new shelf in our boys' bedroom closet to be able to organize things in there so that we could walk around in their bedroom. But I tell you that the fullness of life does not come in more things. The fullness of life comes in the things of the Spirit that money cannot buy. Amen. But you won't have the harvest of spiritual things unless you're sowing to the Spirit. Part of that is prayer. Part of that is the Word of God. Part of that is fellowship with God's people. You may say, "Well, I don't feel like I belong anywhere." I'll tell you, if you keep sowing into a church that is preaching the gospel, you may have come one Sunday, but you come back for another Sunday and you sow, I'll tell you, there will be eventually things will start growing. Relationships will be building and you'll get in there and you'll realize, hey, these brothers and sisters, they believe the truth about God and I want to be there with them. I want to grow with them and I want to see God do great things as we go about sowing to the gospel ministry, as we all strive and encourage one another to sow to the Spirit. Amen. I can already tell you, every week I see people who are sowing to the flesh. And it warns me, because I sow to the flesh too sometimes. And it comes up bad stuff every time. If I sow a harsh word with somebody, you know what? It's going to sow something in somebody else's heart. It's going to come back. I'm going to reap it. But if I sow love and I sow kindness, I'll be honest with you, I need to sow things into my marriage. I need to sow to the things of the Spirit in my marriage. I need to sow to the things of the Spirit in my children that are growing up. I need to sow to the things of the Spirit. I think about as I get away throughout the week and I get into God's Word and I say, "Lord, what is it that I need to preach this week?" And I get in there and I spend time in God's Word. I'm sowing to the Spirit as I'm studying. You may say, "Well, what are you doing? You're wasting 2 hours on Monday and 30 minutes here and an hour there." But no, I'm telling you, I want to sow to the things of the Spirit, that when we come to the house of God, I'm not just full of hot air, but I'm full of the heavenly truth of God's holy words, that it might change our lives. So we need to sow to the things of the Spirit that we might reap eternal life. Brothers and sisters, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Keep sowing. If you're sowing to the right things, God's going to allow you to reap a harvest, a good crop. And then you keep on sowing, another good crop's going to come. And then you keep on sowing to the things of God, another good crop is going to come. And then you keep on sowing, your whole life could be the reaping of God's blessings of obedience. Your entire life. Don't believe the devil's lie that you need to get out there and the pasture is greener on the other side, I'm telling you, he's a lie and the truth is not in him. You sow to the things of God and you will reap those blessings year after year after year. And oh, can you imagine when you do take that final breath? You say, Lord, I've been sowing to the Spirit. And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's look at this last portion here in verse 10. He says here, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity. Do you know that God brings opportunities into our lives? There are moments, there are seasons, there are people that come into your lives that God gives you an open door to do something good. We should do good in sowing to the gospel ministry. We should do good in sowing to personal holiness and a closer walk with the Lord. If it's just like this, how many of us would like to have better health? I saw something on Facebook this week that said that you're not going to look like a million if you keep eating off the dollar menu. Isn't that true? You know what? It takes hard work, dedication, sacrifice if you want to follow after the Lord and do what is right. It may be difficult right now, but I'll tell you, it's going to get easier and easier as you begin practicing those things. One person said this, he says, sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Our choices are important in our life. And as we have therefore opportunity, Paul says, let us take those opportunities. God is going to give us opportunities individually and as a family and as a church body that we might do good in this community. I pray that we're living in Goodlettsville. I pray that Goodlettsville can be known as a good place to live because there's good and godly and holy and righteous people that are serving God in this place. It is my desire that this community know that Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church wants to go about doing good and making an impact. For every shooting that goes on in Goodlettsville, I pray that there could be a good act that comes from this church, that someone says that, hey, that happened there. But let me tell you about the good news that happened in this church. That church is on the move. That church is going out and reaching people. That church is being a blessing to the community. I pray that we, as we look into 2016, that this is the kind of church that we can be. Because I believe it will honor the Lord. You know what he says? We all heard charity begins at home. He says that we should do good to everyone. But notice this word. Especially to those that are of the household of faith. Do you know as God's people and as a family of believers, we're family. We're family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this is a relationship, if you've been saved by God's grace, this is a relationship that we will carry all the way into eternity. And the Lord says that we should especially do good to those that are in the household of faith. What are you planning to do this year? For your church. How are you going to do good in your church? This is your church. It's our church. What good are you going to do here? I want you to think about it. I want you to take this with you this next week. What good are you going to do here? And if you're doing good already, don't be weary. Keep on doing it. The Lord sees it. He's going to reward your obedience. You're sowing a good planting that you might have a good harvest that's going to come up. But how are we going to do good here? Let us sow to the gospel ministry. Let us sow to the spirit and personal holiness. And let us sow to our Christian community, our church body. Let us serve in our community that God might be honored and God might be glorified. That we might go about, as it was said of Jesus, that He went about doing good. There are plenty that are doing evil. We need laborers in the harvest that'll do good, that'll bear one another's burdens in prayer, that'll love one another with acts of kindness, that'll see the importance of God's truth being extended from His house to the world. Because this is the verse I want to close in. Matthew 5 and 16, He says this: "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. Whatever we do that's good is not for us to receive the pat on the back, even though that mutual appreciation is good and loving one another is good, but the ultimate reason we do it is because we serve a good God. And we have a good Father who takes care of our every need. Is there anyone in here can testify to that? That has God been good to you? If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you. Today might be the day that you need to humble yourself before Him and ask Him. Ask Him. If you don't know where you stand with God, today would be a good day for you to ask Him, "Lord, where do I stand with You? Because I'm concerned about where I'll spend eternity." As we get a song and sing, I would encourage you to think about those questions.